Hear and Know Stories. Hear and Know English. Hear and Know Stories in English. This is your program. Hear and Know.
Welcome to our program, Hear and Know, where you have the opportunity to hear stories in English and test your understanding. Each week, we will listen to a chapter of an interesting story and ask questions about what happened. We will give you the answers to check your understanding. At the end of the program, we'll ask a question for a prize. Send your answer in English via email as soon as possible to hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. We will print out all the correct answers and draw one to win the prize and announce it on the next program. Program 3, Part 3. This program will continue with a third of 6 parts of Dracula by Bram Stoker. Welcome to Hear and Know, the program designed to help you improve your English, and here's your host, Roberta King.
If you're joining us for the first time, here is our story so far. Our hero, Jonathan Harker, traveled to Transylvania to meet Count Dracula, who is a vampire. He has been imprisoned by the vampire who has planned to kill him. We continue from where Jonathan Harker has to find a way to escape, to survive.
Before we continue with part 3, let's learn a little about this historical figure, who many people believe is the man behind the legend of Count Dracula.
In 1972, Radu Florescu and Raymond McNeely wrote the book In Search of Dracula. In it, they claimed to find connections between an historical character, Vlad III, Dracula, of Wallachia, and Stoker's character, Count Dracula. Vlad Dracula was born in Transylvania and had the delightful nickname of Vlad the Impaler. To impale means to stab or pierce something with a stick. Vlad would torture thousands of people he considered enemies in what people of the day called impaling forests. He would have hundreds or even thousands of tall, sharpened sticks on which he would force these people. They would be impaled on these long sticks and take days to die in agony, screaming in pain while they died. Dracul means dragon in Romanian, and comes from a secret fraternity of knights formed by Sigismund of Luxembourg to save Christianity from the Muslim Turks. Members of the fraternity would add Dracul to their names. Vlad II Dracul was the impaler's father and was admitted to the fraternity in 1431 because of his bravery in fighting against the Turks. Dracula means son of the dragon. The Romanians celebrated Vlad III Dracula as a hero because he saved them from the Turkish Muslims. Some records say he killed and tortured as many as 100,000 Turkish Muslims by forcing them on sharpened sticks. Experts are not sure if Bram Stoker based anything other than the name Dracula, or Dracula as we say, on Vlad Dracula. However, he certainly seemed to personify the evil of Count Dracula in real life.
Before we begin part one, here are some questions that you need to listen for the answer.
How did Jonathan Harker escape from Castle Dracula? Did he leave through the basement or jump out the window? 2. Who tells the second part of the story, Mina or Lucy? 3. Where did Mina find Lucy? In her bedroom or in the churchyard?
Let's listen to the first part of today's story.
Just then, I heard the sound of voices. The workmen were coming back. I hurried back up the stairs to the Count's room. Below, I heard the noise of a key. The workmen were opening a door. So there was another door to the outside down there. I listened carefully and heard the sound of hammers. They were getting the coffins ready for a journey. Perhaps to England. I remembered the Count's words about his plans to visit my country. I turned to run back downstairs to find this open door. But I was too late. A cold wind ran through the castle, and with a crash, the door at the top of the stairs closed and locked itself. I could not get back down the stairs. Soon, I saw from the window the heavy carts full of coffins, and the workmen drove away. I was alone in the castle with those terrible vampire women. While I was writing these words in my diary, I decided what to do. I must try to escape. I shall try to get down the wall outside. The window is high above the ground, but I have to try. I shall take some of the gold with me. If I escape, perhaps it will be helpful later. If I die, it will be better than the death that waits for me here. Goodbye, Mina. Will I ever see you again? Mina's Story. Chapter 3. Lucy in Danger.
While Jonathan was away, I was very unhappy. He did not write to me often, and when he did, his letters were strange and very short. I knew that something was wrong. But what? Was Jonathan in danger? I thought about him all the time. Why didn't he come back to England and to me? I felt better when, at last, I did get a letter from him. Jonathan said that he was coming home and was at Bistritz. But again, it was a short, strange letter. Perhaps he's ill, I thought. My friend Lucy also wrote to me. I know that you will be happy for me, she wrote. Arthur has asked me to marry him. Isn't it wonderful? I love him very much. He's away just now, and you know that Mother and I are staying at Whitby, by the sea. Please come and stay with us, and I can tell you all about it. Arthur Homewood loved Lucy very much. I was really pleased to hear her news, and I decided to go immediately. And it would help me not to think about Jonathan all the time. Lucy met me at the station, and it was wonderful to see her again. She was full of life and talked happily of her plans. "Oh, Mina," she said to me, "I am really happy. I love Arthur very much." But sometimes it was hard for me, because when Lucy talked of Arthur, I thought of Jonathan again. The weather was good, and Lucy and I walked a lot, sometimes by the sea, but we often went up to the old church on the hill. At night, Lucy and I slept in one room, but sometimes she walked in her sleep. She began to sleep badly, and her mother and I decided to lock the bedroom door at night. Then one day, the weather changed. The sky was black and heavy, and that night there was a terrible storm. Lucy was very excited by it, and she sat by the window all night and watched the sea. The next morning, there was a ship on the beach. "It's a Russian ship from Varna on the Black Sea," Lucy's servant told us. "There are coffins on it, and they're full of earth. And a big black dog jumped off the ship and ran up the hill."
"And is everyone on the ship alive?" Lucy asked.
"That's the strange thing about it," the servant replied. "There was no one on the ship, either dead or alive." Everybody in the town was very excited by this strange ship, but there were no answers to the mystery. And nobody saw the big black dog again. That night, I woke up and found that the bedroom door was open and Lucy was not there. I looked for her everywhere in the house, but I could not find her. "I'm afraid for her. I don't know why," I said to her mother. I knew that Lucy sometimes liked to go and sit quietly in the churchyard, so I hurried out into the night to look for her. And I found her. She was sitting in the churchyard, white in the moonlight, and I thought I saw something dark behind her. Something dark and horrible. Slowly its head moved nearer to Lucy. Afraid, I called out, "Lucy! Lucy!" A white face and burning red eyes looked up at me, and then nothing. Lucy was alone, asleep in the moonlight. I woke her, and she gave a little cry. She put her hands to her neck, and I saw that there were two little drops of blood there.
What is going to happen to Lucy?
Here's her story so far.
Jonathan felt trapped, but he heard the voices of some workmen. He found an open door, but it shut before he could leave. In desperation, he decided to jump out the window. Mina begins to tell her story. While Jonathan was away, she went to visit her best friend Lucy, who was in love with Arthur Holmwood. Arthur had asked Lucy to marry him, and they were very happy. Lucy often talked of her plans, which was difficult for Mina because Jonathan was far away and she missed him very much. Lucy and Mina went for walks by the sea and up to the old churchyard. After a while, Lucy began to walk in her sleep, and her mother decided to lock the door. The beautiful weather changed, and there was a terrible storm throughout the night that Lucy watched. The next morning, Lucy's servant told them of a ship from Russia that had landed on the beach with nothing but coffins filled with earth on board. Other than a big black dog that ran up the hill and disappeared, nothing, either living or dead, was found on the ship. That night, Nina woke up to find the bedroom door open and Lucy gone. Lucy was nowhere in the house. Nina was afraid for her. Then she remembered that Lucy liked to sit in the churchyard. Nina found Lucy in the churchyard. There was something dark and horrible behind her. When she went to Lucy, Nina saw two little drops of blood on her neck.
Here are a few questions to answer during the second part of Nina's story.
1. What did Nina see outside the open window near Lucy? Was it a black dog or something like a big black bird? 2. Where was Jonathan? In a hospital in Budapest or Castle Dracula? 3. Who did Jonathan see when they returned to London? Mr. Hawk and his boss or Count Dracula?
Let's listen to the second part.
After that night, Lucy was worse. She left her bed every night and her lovely face was white. I was afraid for her and locked the door at night. And I still did not hear from Jonathan. I was unhappy and did not sleep well myself. So one night, I went for a walk alone. Lucy will be all right, I thought. The door is locked. She can't get out, and no one can get in. But when I came back, I found Lucy by the open window. Lucy, I cried. But she did not reply. She was asleep, and near her, just outside the open window, there was something black, like a big bird. A day or two later, I had a letter. Jonathan was ill and in hospital in Budapest. Of course, I must go to him immediately, I said to Lucy. I did not want to leave her, but Jonathan was everything to me. He needs me, I said. And when at last I arrived in Budapest and held Jonathan in my arms, I felt happy. Jonathan was very ill, but he was getting better every day. He did not want to talk about his time in Castle Dracula, but he gave me his diary to read. And so I learnt about Count Dracula and Jonathan's terrible adventure in the castle. But he escaped, and when he fell ill in the mountains, some workmen found him and took him to the hospital. Poor Jonathan. His face was white and thin, and he was still very afraid. But now we were together again, and everything was all right. Jonathan and I were married on September the 1st, and then we began our journey home. We arrived back in England on September the 18th, and it was wonderful to be home again. Everyone looked happy on that warm autumn evening when we drove through the streets of London. Jonathan smiled and said softly, "Oh, Nina, I love you." "I love you too, Jonathan," I replied. I was truly happy. And then, suddenly, Jonathan's face went white and he cried out. He was looking at a carriage outside a shop. In it there was a pretty girl with dark hair. She was waiting for someone. And near the carriage, watching the pretty girl, there was a man, a tall, thin man with long white teeth and a very red mouth. "It's the Count," Jonathan cried. "Here in London." Jonathan put his head in his hands and said nothing for the rest of the journey. I was very afraid for him. Was it really true that this horrible Count Dracula was here in London? When we arrived home, there was a letter from Arthur Homewood. Lucy was dead. My dearest Lucy, dead. It could not be true. Later, we read the letter again. Soon after you left, Arthur wrote, Lucy began to get worse. I did not know what to do. I knew only that I must do something quickly. So I asked our old friend, Jack Seward, to come and see her. He's a doctor, I thought. Perhaps he can do something to help Lucy. He came at once, but in the end, nobody could help poor Lucy. And she died yesterday.
Let's hear our story so far.
After finding Lucy in the churchyard, she seemed to get worse and worse. Mina locked the bedroom door every night. With no word from Jonathan, Mina felt very worried and one night went for a walk. When she returned, Lucy was asleep by the open window of their bedroom, and outside, near Lucy, there was something black like a big bird. Finally, Mina received a letter, but Jonathan was ill in a hospital in Budapest. Although Mina didn't want to leave Lucy, Jonathan was her fiancé, and she wanted to be with him. When Mina arrived in Budapest, Jonathan was slowly getting better, but didn't want to talk to her of his experiences in Castle Dracula. He gave her his diary, and she learned of his terrible adventure. Jonathan managed to get out of Castle Dracula and was found by workers in the mountain. Jonathan managed to get out of Castle Dracula and was found by workers in the mountains. As he was very sick, they took him to the hospital. Jonathan and Mina married on September 1st and arrived in England September 18th. As they drove through the streets of London, they were very happy until Jonathan saw Count Dracula watching a pretty girl. On arriving home, they found a letter from Arthur Homewood telling them that Lucy was dead. He had contacted a doctor friend of his, Jack Seward, to see Lucy. In the end, however, nobody could help her. Lucy dead? Dracula in London? What is going to happen next? Tune in to the next program as our story continues.
The winner for a question from our last program, what year did Bram Stoker write Dracula, is
Inés Muñoz Islas, who won a TOEFL to be taken at the Dirección de Autoaprendizaje de Idiomas in La Ciudad Universitaria.
The correct answer of 1897. Now for this week's question to win our prize.
What does Dracula mean? Send your answer in English to Hear and Know at uaeh.edu.mx. The question again? What does Dracula mean? Thanks for listening. This is Roberta King, courtesy of Dirección de Autoaprendizaje de Idiomas. I look forward to your participation and hope you'll tune in next week for part 4 of Dracula.
Thanks for listening to Hear and Know. Tune in next week to listen to more of our stories and to find out the winner of our weekly contest. Remember to send your answers in English to hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. That's hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. If you would like a copy of this program, please contact us at 771-717-2000, extension 5550.
You have been listening to Hear and Know. Tune in every Wednesday at noon. Radio Universidad 99.7.